If you will, take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 27. We'll be taking our reading from Matthew chapter number 27 this morning. Before we go to the Lord in word of prayer, I want to ask everybody to stand with me for just a minute. Let's get a little blood pumping, a little blood flowing this morning. I tell you, if you're sitting here this morning, and especially, all the singing has been wonderful, but if you're sitting here this morning and you can't draw some strength and some glory and some happiness about all of your sins being covered by the blood, then you probably need to get saved before you leave here today. Because when they sing that song, every time I think about it, I can mentally picture Satan coming to me with a little book with all of my sins written down in that little book. And I know that he knows my life, and I'm telling you what, he comes to me and he reminds me sometimes of some of the thoughts and some of the actions that's been in my life, my failures. He'll even bring to me the things that I should have done for God that I didn't do for God and say, look right here, look how sorry you really are. But I'm so thankful that on the absolute backside of all of that that he can bring to me, the only thing that I can claim is that it's all under the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And I'm so thankful that that blood is absolute power to wash away all of my sin. Not just one of them, not just six of them, not just 100 of them, but that all of my sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my sin is underneath the blood this morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask him to bless the message this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together this morning. God, I pray to your Father that you will take the remainder of this service, that you will pour out your Spirit on us. God, I pray that you'll help me to preach this message in power the way that you've given it to me. God, I know that I'm nothing without you. I'm not worthy to stand here this morning. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But God, I pray, dear Father, that as you have taken this message and spoken it to my heart, and God, as I've had to make some amends in my life, and as I've had to come to you and repent for some things that's in my life, God, I pray that we as Christians will take this message today, that we will reconcile our relationship with you, and we know that that's all through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, if most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they understand that without you and without forgiveness, that they will die and go to a devil's hell, and that they will respond to the gospel, and that they'll come to know you before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for everyone that's here today. God, may we take this opportunity, give you glory, worship you, and draw closer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to begin reading in just a moment in Matthew chapter number 27. But before we get to our reading this morning, we got to back up a little bit. We got to start, and I got to give you some background information that you're very familiar with. This is nothing new, and most of you could tell this even better than I can, and could probably even quote more scripture that goes along with it than I can. But as we come to Matthew chapter number 27, there's a background story that goes along with this. See, you know, Jesus come to this earth as a little baby in a manger. I'm not going all the way back to the manger, but we're going to start there. But he came here, and the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh, and that God manifested himself as flesh in Jesus Christ to come and to give his life for you and I. So Jesus has been living here on earth for 33 years or something thereabout. And as he's living here, and now that the time of the crucifixion has come, we get into Matthew chapter number 26, Matthew chapter number 27, and we find that the time of Jesus' whole purpose to be here on earth. Now look, all of the miracles that he did while he was here, the feeding the 5,000, the healing the lame, the healing the blind, all of those things were wonderful, and it showed the power of God on his life. But that is not the reason that he came. You know, and for him to be our personal friend here on this earth and to walk with us every single day and to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, somebody that understands all of the trouble that you go to, somebody to help you carry your burdens here on this earth, all of those things are wonderful, but that's not the purpose of his relationship. His purpose of his relationship is so that I can be reconciled to the Father and spend eternity with him in heaven. But now as we get into Matthew chapter number 27 and we see the background of this, we got to look that just a day or so ago that Jesus looked at a couple of his disciples and said, look, I need you to go and to prepare a Passover meal for us. So the Bible tells us that these two guys, they went and they started preparing the Passover meal, and we know this now as the Last Supper that Jesus had here with his disciples. They go and prepare the Passover, and Jesus and his disciples, they go and meet in this upper room, and he goes, and as he's sitting there with his disciples, he actually reveals a couple of things to them here during this Passover celebration or this Passover observance. First of all, he tells them that his time is at hand. He begins to let them know that soon and very soon that he is going to give his life. And I don't know, you can go back and do some reading, and it seems like some of it doesn't exactly click with the disciples of what Jesus is telling them. But then he also tells them, as he's sitting there at the table with them, that one of his disciples, he says, I want you to know that one of you is going to betray me. As they're all sitting there at the table, you can imagine, I would say, as Jesus said that, and as they have seen the miracles that he has done, they know the power that he has, and he looks at them and says, one of you is going to betray me. I'm going to say that that table, that room went just this quiet. Sounded like fellowship. Amen. Sorry about that. That wasn't a dart. That was just fun. Here we go. So, I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. I love you. So as they're sitting here in this upper room, and he says, one of you going to betray me, and the room goes quiet. And as they're sitting there, and I want you to notice that the disciples, one by one, begin to look at Jesus and say, is it I? Is it I? Now, you know what I think that is kind of ironic about that? Because Judas already knew that it was him. Judas had already made a pact. He had already made an agreement over in Matthew chapter number 26. And we're going to read it here in just a second. But each and every one of the disciples looked at Jesus and said, is it I? Is it I? I want you to know that from that statement, I look and I say, I believe that every one of the disciples knew that somewhere in their flesh and in their own abilities that they were capable of being the one that betrayed Jesus. You know, and I believe that every single one of us, if we're not careful with our lives, if we're not in a place that we're trying to draw strength from Jesus Christ, where we're not depending completely on him, every single one of us, we are capable of turning our backs on God, of walking away from God, of our fellowship and our relationship with God being tremendously destroyed if we choose to go that way. That's the reason we need to be careful when we see Christians that do that, that we don't get all on our holy high horse and start beating them down. But each and every one of the disciples began to say, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And then as Judas looks at Jesus and he says, is it I? And Jesus looks at him and says, thou hast said. And we look here in Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 14. I'm going to go back and read this. The Bible says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he saw opportunity to betray him. So even sitting here in this upper room with Jesus, he knew, Judas already knew, that it was him that was going to betray Jesus. Now, shortly after this Passover celebration, this observance, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, look, I want you all to go with me over to the garden. I want you to pray with me. I want you to go and I want you to watch while I pray. And the Bible tells us that Jesus entered into the garden of Gethsemane, and he goes in and he begins to pray, and he comes back and he finds his disciples asleep, and he says, I can't believe that you couldn't watch for me for just 1 hour. He says, but I'm going to go a little further into the garden. I'm going to pray. And we know as Jesus goes into the garden and he begins to pray and he begins to say, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But I'm so thankful for this part. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God, if this is the only way that we can reconcile the people back to us, I'm willing to go and give my life on a cross. I believe that he knew what was coming his way. And as he goes in that garden to pray, there was part of him that said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, but if it's the only way, I'm willing to go. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus was willing to go all the way, no matter what, even though he knew what was coming his way? So here he is in the garden praying with his disciples. Soon after, as he comes out of the garden, here comes a multitude to arrest Jesus. And what do you know? Here comes Judas right along with them, leading the way. See, he had made a pact with him, and he said, look, for 30 pieces of silver, I'll betray Jesus, and I'll take you to where he's at. And when we get to where he's at, I'll go and I'll kiss him on the cheek, and I will call him Rabbi, and you will know that that is the one that you need to arrest. Like they didn't know already. But Judas says, I'll do that. I will go, and I will betray him with a kiss. I will be the one to go and make sure that you know exactly who you're supposed to be arresting. Judas goes and he betrays Jesus with a kiss. They take him into custody. Thank you. My goodness, y'all pray. Let's go. So as Jesus is taken into custody, and as Judas is standing there, and he has been the one to betray Jesus, he has been the one to take him. I wonder what in the world was going in Judas's mind. First of all, he had the monetary gain, the 30 pieces of silver that he had traded Jesus for. But I believe there was some other things in his mind, that he had become a political power. He had some importance to the religious leaders. He had control of the whole situation. He had control of when Jesus was going to be arrested. He had control of when he was going to be taken into custody. He knew that the religious leaders were dependent on him. He had some importance. He was looking for his own glory in the middle of this situation. So now as he goes and as he betrays Jesus and they take Jesus into custody, now he begins to appear before different people trying to figure out what they're going to do with Jesus. And as even as Peter is sitting there, you remember as Jesus is there at the Last Supper and he looks at his disciples and he says, one of you is going to betray me. And then he tells them, look, there's going to be some things that are going to happen that's going to make you question, and that many people are going to be offended for my name. And Peter looks at him and says, there's no way that I'll be offended. I'll never turn my back on you. No matter what happens, I'll go with you. Even unto death, I'll go with you. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, before morning, you will deny me three times. This is the situation that's going on here at this time in Matthew chapter number 27. At the end of Matthew chapter number 26, we find that what Jesus said would happen is exactly what happened, that Peter did deny Jesus three times. And the Bible tells us in verse number 75 of Matthew chapter number 26, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. A man who just hours before, again, we need to be very careful about how much boasting that we do about our will and our power to serve God. I want to tell you, the only reason I have any will or any power to serve God is because His Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me, and that's what empowers me to live for Him the way that I do. That's what empowers you to live for Jesus Christ. And as Peter denies him three times, the Bible says, and he went out and he wept bitterly. Then we come to chapter number 27, verse number 1. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. So now that Judas has done his betraying, now that Peter has done his denying, now Jesus is taken into custody. Judas has his 30 pieces of silver. He has his importance. He had his role in the whole thing. And now they have taken Jesus. They have took counsel against him. And now their plan is to put him to death. You know what? Sometimes we get caught up in some stuff. Sometimes we get caught up in some actions that we're thinking that we're doing something good, and all of a sudden that we're doing something to benefit us, and all of a sudden it implodes on us. And it explodes on us. And we find ourselves in a mess. And look what happens, verse number 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Listen, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. All of a sudden, he's feeling bad about what he did. All of a sudden, Judas is not liking what he had done. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. Now something that he wanted so bad, he wanted that 30 pieces of silver so bad. See, do you remember back when Mary was going to anoint Jesus' feet? And there was someone that spoke up and said, why would you waste that on his feet? That money, that should be sold and the money taken and given to the poor. That was Judas that spoke up and said that. This money was really important to him. I believe he was a greedy person. And as he has this 30 pieces of silver that was so important to him, he has this 30 pieces of silver and the importance that he had, the role that he had in having Jesus arrested, now he's starting to feel bad about it. In verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. You notice it don't say that he repented unto God. It said he repented. He's feeling bad about what he did. Have you ever sinned and chose to sin because it was something that you wanted at that particular time, and then the next morning that sorry, sin, sick pain hits your stomach and your heart? Amen, church. Y'all ain't never done it. I have. Maybe we'll just dismiss, and I'll spend some time around the altar, and y'all can go get lunch early today. Because I'm telling you, I found myself in this place to where there was something that I thought meant so much to me and that I wanted so bad, and I knew it was against God's will to do it, and yet I went for it anyway. And then right after, sometimes, I mean the second after, sometimes I think I have that pleasure of sin for a season, and the next morning, it's like, man, God punches me right in the gut and says, what in the world did you do? You traded for what you wanted. You got what you wanted. And Judas says that he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And look, he takes it and he throws it down to them saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. They can't even figure out what they want to do with this 30 pieces of silver now. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. I want to ask you a question this morning. As we look and we can see what Judas went through, you know, Judas had a great opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He had a wonderful opportunity to follow him day in and day out for the time span that he was a disciple, that he was supposed to be a follower of Jesus. He had a great opportunity to have a close bond with Jesus Christ. You know what? Can I just go ahead and say this morning that we living right here in this area, I know we're kind of spread out. Some of us are from Ararat. Some of us are from Pilate. Some of us are from Cana, we're Mount Airy, we're kind of from all over, but wherever you live at, right here close, you have a great opportunity to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We live in one of the best places in this world. We live right here in this Bible Belt, and I mean, while this world is becoming more and more liberal and more against God and more that they want to shut Christians down, you know, we actually still live in a place that even in public schools sometimes, they have prayer at a football game, that they have prayer at a baseball game, that they have a prayer at a meeting. I want to tell you that we live in a place that we're not quite as put down as they are in some other places. That we live in a place that we're free to come to God's house and to worship on Sunday morning. That we live in a place that we're free to carry our Bibles with us. That we live in a place that we're free to bow our heads and pray to God and to talk to God. That we live in a place that we're very blessed to be able to be open about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Here, Judas, he had a great opportunity to have that relationship, to have that bond with Jesus Christ. And yet he chose to trade it for 30 pieces of silver and some importance or some power. I want to ask you this morning, what are you trading your opportunity to be close with Jesus Christ for this morning? Hey, I don't know what it is. I can tell you what it is in my life. I can tell you the things that have become important in my life. I can tell you the things, but I'm not going to. It's none of your business. Me and God's talked about it last night and this morning already. So I'm not going to tell you about it. But I know that there are things in my life that have become important. There are things in my life that I have put before my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we look at Judas and we say, I can't believe that he did that. I can't believe that the way that he saw Jesus do those miracles. I want to tell you something. I experienced a miracle from Jesus at the age of 7 when he reached down into my black cart that was covered with sin, that he applied his red blood and he washed me white as snow. I have seen more and more miracles as I've been a Christian than anybody that if we just sat down and think about it, you've seen more miracles than you even realize. Judas saw these miracles. He saw what Jesus could do. He knew the power. He knew who Jesus was, and yet he decided to trade it for 30 pieces of silver. What have you seen in your life? What have you experienced in your life? And yet we've decided to trade it for something that obviously means more. We've decided that we'd rather have something else in our life than to have the relationship that Jesus Christ has for us. You say, well, preacher, you probably should have dismissed us. I believe it is just you. It may be. It very well may be. You may be walking hand in hand with Jesus, but you know what? Judas was right there with him too, day in and day out. But in the back of his mind and in his heart, there was always something bubbling. There was always something working. You know, as we live in the area that we do, as we have the opportunity that we do, as you can come, and it may not be much preaching, but you can hear preaching on Sunday morning. You can go home, and I don't know why you would, but you can listen to it on YouTube again after a while, or you can actually go and pull up some good preaching from somebody else and listen to it after a while. There is all of this stuff that we have access to that we can have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can walk hand in hand, that we can experience the life that God wants us to have, that relationship that God wants us to have. But what are you trading? I hope it's worth it. I hope in my life, whatever it is that I'm trading, that I'd rather have this than to have the relationship that God wants me to have. You know, there are times that I sit down and I say, you know what, I just don't hardly have time to read. I don't hardly have time to pray like I should. But you know what? I find time to do anything else that I want to do. Amen. I'll amen myself if y'all ain't going to this morning. I find time to do everything else that I want to do. If I want to go deer hunting, I find a way to go deer. Ain't nothing wrong with deer hunting. That's the next thing close to God as anything in the world. But there ain't nothing wrong with that. But if I want to find time to go deer hunting, I go deer hunting. If I want to find time to go downstairs and clean my guns, and I did that last night, I find time to do that. If I want to find time to go outside and throw ball with the girls in the yard, I find time to do that. But boy, if I need to get down and read my Bible, I'm just too tired or I just don't have time. What are we trading for our relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, we can't just sit around and do that all the time. I know that. I understand that. We all have lives to live. But I want to ask you, are you trading something for your relationship that you should be having with Jesus Christ? Look. Judas decided he was going to trade. He was going to trade the 30 pieces of silver, the important role that he had in having Jesus taken into custody. He decided he was going to trade that. I want to ask us this morning, are we going to decide to trade something? See, you know, there come a time and a place, as we've read right here in the first 10 verses of chapter number 27, there come a time and a place when Judas realized that everything that he had traded it for was not worth it. There's going to be a time and a place in our lives when we realize what we traded wasn't worth it. There's going to be a time and a place when you need God and you're going to realize what you traded wasn't worth it. Judas was so tore up about it that he took the 30 pieces of silver, that he threw it down, and he said, I don't want it. I don't want anything to do it. But you know what? It was too late. He'd already made the trade. And there's going to be a time and a place. Hey, I don't know how many times I've said it. All my life I've said, you know what? Hindsight, it's 2020. If I knew then what I knew now, I could have done better. I could have done something different. Well, I want to tell you, I believe that God took this message and spoke it to my heart and said, look, I'm going to give you a little hindsight in the foresight so maybe you can straighten up before you get too tore up about this. I want to show you that you're trading some stuff. I want to show you, and as Judas, he realized that what he was trading wasn't worth it. He took the 30 pieces of silver, that he threw them down, and the Bible says that he went out and hanged himself. Now listen, in different parts of Scripture you can read that the Bible says that he hanged himself, and then there's a place that says that he fell and he bashed his head against the rocks. I'm going to put it in my terms. And you know what I think really happened right there? I believe that Judas went out and I believe he hanged himself. And then I believe these people who he thought was so important to, I believe that they went out and they cut him down, they threw him over the cliff. Go and study it. Don't just take my word for it. There's you some studying for the week. These people that he thought was so important to him and that they were he was so important to them, I believe they just threw him over the cliff like trash. Said, there you go. Whatever it is that is so important to you in this world, one day it's going to be gone. Just like that. Just like that. The Bible tells me that everything in this world is going to burn up with a fervent heat one day. That if it's money that's so important to me, one day it's all going to be gone. If it's athletics that's so important to me, one day it's all going to be gone. If it's possessions of whatever kind, one day it's all going to be gone. If it's a friendship or relationship, whatever it is, don't trade anything for your relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing worth your relationship. Well, preacher, I'm saved. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's just talk about this idea that we get in our mind. Oh, I'm saved, preacher. I made a profession when I was little, or I made a profession in my teen years or whatever, and I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm saved, and we all know that there's nothing that nobody can do about that. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I can just go and I can do whatever I want to in this world because I'm sealed. I got a relationship with. I want to tell you something. If the only thing that you are banking yourself on, if the only thing that you're going to say is, well, I made a profession and you have no desire to live for Jesus Christ, you have no desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't get that sin gut punch when you mess up, I want to just go ahead and tell you this morning that you better check your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. I know that's not popular preaching. I'm not sitting here saying saved today, lost tomorrow, and all that. But what I am saying is if you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you doggone well know it. And that doggone well is Ararat talk. People in Ararat can doggone well know that you got a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if the only claim that you got is, well, I made a profession, listen. Don't you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you find yourself like me this morning and I figured out that I was trading some stuff, that I was Judas, that I was trading some stuff in my life for my relationship with Jesus Christ, and if that don't bother you and that don't trip something on the inside of you that begins to make your spirit kind of groan and say, I cannot believe that I'm not walking where God wants me, you better check your relationship with Jesus Christ and be sure that you are saved. Be sure that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, maybe you're perfect. Maybe you're walking exactly where you're supposed to be. Maybe everything in your life, you're spiritually strong, you're spiritually sound. There's not one thing going on. I want to tell you something. Keep your eyes open because the devil's coming. He's going to try to trip you up. He's going to try to trap you. He's going to try to make you fall. He's going to try to get you to where you might would be willing to trade something for your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jennifer, if you will, come get us an invitational hymn this morning. I know this wasn't a hallelujah message, but I want to tell you this morning, if you found yourself like myself, you found yourself in a place to where you go, you know what? I have traded some things. There are some things that have become important to me that I have traded for a closer walk with God. There are some things that have become important to me that I've let get ahead of my desire to be where God wants me to be in that relationship with Him. If you found, let me give you a hallelujah part to this. We have a God that is so merciful and so forgiving. He says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. He says, if you'll confess your sins, He says, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hey, there's times that when I start to study these messages and I start to get up here on Sunday morning and preach them, I just have to go and say, God, please forgive me. God, help me. I don't know how in the world I'm supposed to stand and preach to these people. I don't know how I'm supposed to get when I'm guilty. God, I don't know how I'm supposed to feed other people when I need to be eating the food myself. God, I don't know how I'm supposed to be a leader when I'm falling so short in my life. Hey, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I ain't out here doing dope and drugs and everything in the world. I really want to do my best to live for God, but I'm going to tell you, this walking this walk that we walk is a lot harder than anybody even understands. Trying to be in your right relationship with Jesus Christ is so much harder than anybody understands. This world draws you so much harder than anybody understands, and sometimes I find myself trading. I've never been a good trader. Used to when I was little. I say little, I was 14, 15 years old. I tried horse trading for a while. Try to be a Christian in horse trade. Hallelujah. But we'd go and we'd buy horses and I'd break those horses and turn around, we're going to make a profit on these horses. I'd go and we'd get this horse and I'd spend 60 days, 90 days, whatever, just getting this horse to a place where you could ride it. I was going to turn around and sell this horse. And when I counted all my time and how much I bought the horse for and how much I sold the horse for, I think I made about $5 one time. The rest of the time, I think I lost money. I've never been a good trader. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you're trading your relationship with Jesus Christ for, you're not making a good trade. It's a horrible trade. You're going to come out losing. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I really didn't enjoy the message this morning. Preacher, I don't know why you want to talk to us like we're not living right, not doing right. Can I go ahead and I'll just stop right there and say, guilty. I'm guilty. But preacher, as you were preaching, I do realize that there's some things in my life that shouldn't be there. I do realize that the opportunity that I have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that I'm not putting the importance on it that I should. That I've traded some things. That I've let some things get ahead of my Christian walk. Preacher, I know without a doubt I'm saved. I not like you were talking about earlier, but I know 100% that I'm saved. And I know I'm doing everything that I can to live for Christ, but I know that there's some things that I've traded. And I know it's a bad trade. But preacher, would you pray for me? Just lift your hand. I see your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Preacher, I know that I've traded. And I know it's not a good trade. Pray for me. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I might even be one of those that you were talking about. I made a profession one time, but I'm not sure that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Preacher, I need you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Preacher, I'm lost. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you just pray for me? Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. God, I know that when these messages are sent my way, that I find myself so guilty. God, that it's even so hard to stand here and to preach them. But God, I hope you know, and I hope that the people here in the congregation know that it's all out of love. That I just want us all, as you do, to have the right relationship with you. To know that when we fall, when we come short, that you're willing to forgive us. And God, to help us to pay attention to our lives, that we're not trading anything in this world for our relationship with you. God, I pray if there is one here that's lost, that maybe they just couldn't even muster up the strength to raise their hand, that you'll just speak through the heart and draw them. God, I pray for the Christians that raised their hand that have found themselves in the same position that I'm in, that I've traded some things. God, I pray that you'll help us to use this opportunity to come and get things right, to come and make things the way they're supposed to be between you and I. God, we thank you, we praise you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's his name we pray. Amen.